Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 9th. MISD offers potential bond impact on tax bill. Midland ISD says district's tax bill on the average home inside the city could increase by as much as $111 to $321.69, depending on the district's bond program. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Editor's note: the Reporter Telegram will follow up with reports on Midland ISD's tax rate, total tax payment, and outstanding debt compared to other districts. A school bond will impact the taxes a property owner in Midland pays. It is a matter of how much. Midland ISD is attempting to come up with the right bond for future growth and to update older school buildings. A committee has been formed to help decide how much is the right amount. That committee hasn't started talking about costs, tax rates, or impact on homeowners. However, during a February 9th presentation, Midland ISD officials laid out scenarios for bond elections for $500 million, $700 million, and $1 billion. According to the presentation, using general information that is likely to change between that date and when final decisions are made, Midland ISD officials showed interested community members the following. Editor's note: the Reporter Telegram will use $325,000 as the average home value inside the City of Midland. That number was provided to the City of Midland by the Perryman Group prior to creation of the city's fiscal year 2023 budget. Also, the Reporter Telegram uses numbers that include homesteads and exemptions. The state currently has a $40,000 exemption for homesteads, and Midland ISD has an additional homestead exemption of 10%. Increases or decreases to the valuation of one's property is not factored in. A home that is valued at $325,000 with the state homestead exemption $40,000, and Midland ISD homestead exemption $32,500, would have a $252,500 taxable value for the purposes of determining the school district total tax payment. Using a maintenance and operations M&O rate of 0.8446 per $100 valuation, and an interest and sinking or INS rate of 0.0702, a total tax payment is $2,309.87. A successful $500 million bond election would raise the district's total tax rate from 0.9148 per $100 valuation, estimated in fiscal year 2023-24, to 0.9591. Using that tax rate, Midland ISD would increase the annual total tax payment of the average home inside the City of Midland by $111.86 to $2,421.73. A successful $700 million bond election would raise the district's total tax rate from 0.9148 per $100 valuation to 1.0007. Using that tax rate, Midland ISD would increase the annual total tax payment of the average home inside the City of Midland by $216.90 to a total of $2,526.77. A successful $1 billion bond election would raise the district's total tax rate from 0.9148 per $100 valuation to 1.0422. Using that tax rate, Midland ISD would increase the annual total tax payment of the average home inside the city of Midland by $321.69 to a total of $2,631.56. Midland ISD reported in the presentation that the tax rate increase is based on a 25-year repayment term and $45 billion in taxable assessed value. Midland ISD's presentation shows taxable values at $45.192 billion. Quote, "These are estimates using current property value information and conservative estimations on rates on bonds," MISD reported. According to the Texas Comptroller, the M&O tax rate provides funds for maintenance and operations. The INS tax rate provides funds for payments on the debt that finances a district's facilities. Also, if the homeowner is over 65 or disabled, the tax increase will not affect them as long as they have the homestead designation. Moving back home, MHS graduate achieves small business dream. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Savannah Alvarado, a 2012 graduate of Midland High School, said there are lots of opportunities in Midland to create your own path in life. The president and owner of advertising agency Hancock Group, Alvarado attended Texas State University following her high school graduation. While returning to Midland after college wasn't initially on her radar, she's been able to achieve ownership of a small business less than 10 years after receiving her degree. The oil and gas sector tends to dominate Midland's business landscape. However, Alvarado claimed small business remains vital to this city. For anyone considering moving back home to Midland, Alvarado offered the opportunity for success even at a younger age, which can be hard to attain in a crowded San Antonio or Houston existence. Quote, "It would have been a lot more competitive, and I'm able to go after things that I've dreamed about forever," she said. "It probably wouldn't be achievable so quickly somewhere else," end quote. Alvarado worked at the Midland Reporter-Telegram in marketing when she first returned to Midland. She met the Hancock Group when she took them on as a client during her time at the newspaper and began working with them in 2019. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Alvarado wasn't sure what it would take, but she wanted to take the necessary steps to achieve a dream, own an advertising agency. She approached the previous owner of the business and purchased the company. Her story is an example of a young Midlander recognizing opportunity, taking initiative, and creating their own path of success outside of the oil and gas world. Although not perfect, Alvarado said an education at a Midland ISD high school provides students with meaningful relationships that last well beyond graduation, as well as freedom and flexibility, which allow for a smooth transition to college life and beyond. Quote, "Kind of that independence, which can be seen good and bad, but for me it was good," she said. "It really did set me up for whenever I was on my own. I knew that I was. I didn't have teachers who were coddling me. I think that was definitely a positive," end quote. Alvarado considers the people and sense of community as Midland's biggest strengths. She said she's noticed many people who may be hesitant to move to the area initially, that is, until they get involved in the community and begin friendships. Midland's interest in nonprofit organizations says a lot about the generosity and giving spirit of the community, she claimed. Alvarado has worked with both the Midland and Odessa Development Corporations during her time at the Hancock Group. She said they're doing very well to develop and improve the cities. Quote, It's amazing what a good attitude can do, she remarked. Regional Dance America Festival begins in Midland. Participants from Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and other Texas cities arrive for the 2023 festival. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. More than 400 dancers from Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and other cities in Texas descend on Midland for the annual Regional Dance America 2023 Southwest Festival. Today through Saturday, the companies will learn numerous routines and perform them that very night at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tickets can be bought at wagnernoel.com/events. Learn a little more about each company and their performing numbers below. Arkansas Festival Ballet, Little Rock, Arkansas. What? Strives to strengthen arts education in the Central Arkansas community through performances featuring Little Rock locals and guest artists. Directors, Rebecca Miller-Stalkup and Meredith Zacharitz. Performances, Moment of Rebirth, Contemporary, Thursday, Phaeton Ballet, Friday. Ballet Forte from Sugarland. What? Promotes and fosters appreciation for classical ballet through education and performance opportunities and provides workshops and performances for socially and economically disadvantaged children in the area. Director, Michael Bannigan. Performances, Breath, Ballet, on Friday. Baton Rouge Ballet Theater, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. What? Stands as one Baton Rouge's oldest and busiest arts institutions and has racked in numerous state and local awards, is recognized for its touring professional company, and has many alumni in an array of esteemed professional programs. Directors, Molly Buckman and Sharon Matthews. Performances, Inspirata Ballet, on Friday. Chamberlain Ballet from Plano. What? Focused on improving the lives of community members through dance productions, training, and outreach, also encourages student choreography under the mentorship of a professional. Director, Kathy Chamberlain. Performances, Delusive, Contemporary on Thursday, solo by Toby Mattingly, the 2023 Male RDA Southwest Eurotard Dancewear Senior Classical Outstanding Soloist winner. Also, Fifth, a ballet on Saturday. City Ballet of Houston, from Houston. What? A highly respected program dedicated to supporting youth in both Houston and Galveston looking for a professional career in dance. Directors, Mary Beth Arrington and Louis Fuente. Performances, Reliant, Contemporary on Thursday, solo by the 2023 Female RDA Southwest Eurotard Dancewear Senior Classical Outstanding Soloist winner, Lily Lyon. Also, Awakenings, a ballet, on Saturday. Collin County Ballet Theater, from Plano. What? Nonprofit organization with seasoned performances comprised of youth ensemble members who receive technique training as pre-professional students in the Hathaway Academy of Ballet. Directors, Linda and Kurt Hathaway. Performances, Bloom, Contemporary, Thursday. Glusnoff Rhapsody, a ballet, on Friday. Corpus Christi Ballet from Corpus Christi. What? A small group of semi-professionals help with outreach by providing theater, lecture style, and many on-site performances for schools, reaching thousands of children each year. Directors, Christina Sterling Monroe and Alexandra Emery. Performances, solo by the 2023 female RDA Southwest Uotard Dancewear Senior Contemporary Outstanding Soloist Juliana Perez, a celebration at Esterhazy, a ballet, on Saturday. Dallas Ballet Company from Dallas consists of a senior company, apprentices, apprentice trainees, and a junior ballet company, and have sent a large number of students to renowned programs such as New York City Ballet. Directors Judy and Brent Klopfenstein. Performances Resolute, Contemporary, Thursday. Highland Dance, a ballet, on Saturday. Encore from College Station. Founded in 2022, the company was created with the purpose to give dancers performance opportunities while sharing the beauty of ballet throughout the community. Director, Christy Varvel. Performances, Jubilation, a ballet, on Thursday. Festival Ballet Albuquerque from Albuquerque, New Mexico. What? Supported by dancers of all ages, FBA is dedicated to creating excellence in dance training and productions by maintaining high standards and providing development to dancers. Director, Patricia Dickinson Wells. Performances, Piedmont, a contemporary, on Friday. Juxtapose Art Collective from Houston. What? A multimedia dance theater comprised of artists in residence, guests, and apprentices, and operates in affiliation with the Jetpack to bring together musicians, dancers, actors, etc. Directors Heather Steele, Melissa Ludwig, and Jenna Westall. Performances Disco Fever, Fun Ballet, Thursday. House of Hera, Comedic Ballet, on Friday. Kingwood Dance Theater from Kingwood. What? Focuses on training its dancers to a level of technical and performing expertise useful for career options in classic ballet, dance of all styles, and theater in general. Directors Cheryl Rowland and Kelly Agnew, with Carrie Hawk, Trish King, and Grace Snyder. Performances, solo by the 2023 female RDA Southwest Uotard Dancewear Junior Outstanding Soloist, Adeline Vinson. Airborne, a ballet, on Friday. Louisiana Delta Ballet, from Monroe, Louisiana. What? Formed to nourish talented Northeast area dancers and provide excellence in training and performance opportunities of professional quality. Directors Missy Crane and Elmarie Wessels. Performances Keep Me in the Open, Contemporary, on Thursday. Ah, I See, Contemporary, on Saturday. Midland Festival Ballet from Midland. What? Company dedicated to educating the West Texas community on the importance of ballet and dance, as well as offering educational and performance opportunities throughout seasonal outreach programs. Director, Susan Clark. Performances, Feather, Contemporary, and Tribute, Ballet, on Thursday. Reflections, Ballet, on Saturday. Plano Metropolitan Ballet. Plano. What? In collaboration with other local companies, PMB performs original pieces to the community. They also have an adult performing group called Generations. Director, Cindy Lawrence Hansen. Performances, Kronos, a ballet, on Thursday. Twin City Ballet, Monroe, Louisiana. What? With a repertoire demonstrating skills in classical and contemporary ballet, modern and jazz pieces, TCB begins training students at just 9 years old and complete 6 levels of training. Director, Linda L. Ford. Performances, Heartsick, Contemporary, Thursday, Angst, Contemporary, on Saturday. Victoria Ballet Theatre, from Victoria. What? Beyond training local talent, the company focuses on exposing young children to dance by presenting numerous performances and lecture demonstrations on many school campuses. Directors, Brenda Tall and Kelly Klein. Performances, Set, Rise, a ballet, on Saturday. Western Arkansas Ballet, from Fort Smith, Arkansas. What? WAB looks to create a community dedicated to the fine arts through quality education, training, and performance, as well as highlighting student choreography and professional talent. Directors, Brianna Mesa, Melissa Schoenfeld, Jared Mesa. Performances, Elan, a ballet, on Friday.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 9th, 2023. Happenings. What's Up with Midland? By Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Destination. Karaoke Night, Thursday. Friday Night Live, Whiskey Cult, Friday. Jet Black, Ronnie and the Redwoods, Saturday. Open Mic Night, March 16th. Friday Night Live, Thomas Christian, March 17th. Chase the Night, March 18th. Bring Your Own Blues, Open Blues Jam, March 23rd. At Eccentric Brewing Company. The Bearded Strangers, Friday. The Bison Band, March 15th. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Singer-Songwriter Night, March 17th. Dave Martinez, March 18th. Shelton Rowling, March 22nd. Casey Greathouse, March 24th. Comedy Night, March 25th. Sam Choate, March 29th. Lee Harmon, March 31st. At the Horseshoe. Monster Truck Wars, March 18th. Whiskey Myers, March 31st. At La Hacienda Event Center. Queen's Reek, March 12th. Chase Matthews and Kid G, March 30th. La Zenda Norteña, Los Reconditos, La Zona X y Harry Franco, March 31st. At Midland Community Theater, Sense and Sensibility, March 24th through April 15th. At Midland County History Museum, Russell Lee Photographs Exhibition, now through April 8th. At Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Farmers Market, March 18th. At the Tailgate, William Clark Green, Acoustic, Saturday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Crawfish Boil, Sunday. Tall City Beer Run, March 16th. St. Patrick's Day Celebration, March 17th and 18th. PBAA Pet Easter Photo Shoot, March 19th. Boss Babes Market, March 19th. Girl Scout Cookie Pairing, March 25th. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Midland Festival Ballet presents Feel the Energy, Thursday through Saturday. John Christ, The Emotional Support Tour, Sunday. Our Planet Live in Concert, March 13th. Yamato, The Drummers of Japan, Hinotori, The Wings of Phoenix, March 16th. Zach Williams, March 17th. Chris D'Elia, March 24th. Marisela La Dama de Hierro, March 25th. High Tide, March 28th. Joanne Shaw Taylor, March 29th. Mike Massimino, UTPB Shepherd Leadership Institute Distinguished Lecture Series, March 30th. Chad Prather and the Ragamuffins, March 31st. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, March 10th through 12th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Enjoy 432 Tunes. Odessa natives Whiskey Cult add their West Texas flair to classic country covers. Taking over the destination stage, the four-man band kicks off the outdoor venue's newest edition, Friday Night Live, a series dedicated to highlighting local talent. To learn more about Whiskey Cult, visit www.facebook.com/ Whiskey Cult Band, or follow them on Instagram at @WhiskeyCult_band. Also on site will be the Dirty Grinders food truck, serving hot bites such as burgers, quesadillas, Cuban sandwiches, Philly cheesesteaks, ramen, and more. There's no cover charge, and drinks can be purchased at the bar. Friday, doors open at 7 p.m., music starts at 8 p.m., 1705 West Industrial. Party acoustically with an American country star. Over the last 15 years, William Clark Green has swept up the honky-tonk scene in his hand, especially in Texas. 1/4 of supergroup The Panhandlers, the Lubbock resident produces a simple combination of rustic chords and slightly rock-infused tones, making the East Texas native a fan for all. To pregame the musician's performance, check out his music at www.williamclarkgreen.com or on Instagram at WCGmusic. Must be at least 18 to attend. Tickets ranging from $20 to $575 can be bought at https://bit.ly/3j3blwf. Food trucks will be on site. Lawn chairs are not permitted, and the event will happen rain or shine. Saturday, doors open at 6 p.m., 4401 North Big Spring. Chowdown. In partnership with Marty G's Cajun Cuisine, Tall City Brewing Company will host a crawfish boil feast, packed with mudbugs, corn, potatoes, punchy spices, and more. Owned and operated by real Louisiana Ragin' Cajun chefs, Marty G's prides itself on authenticity, flavor, and fresh ingredients. www.facebook.com/ Marty G's Cajun Eats LLC. Tall City Brewing Company taps will be flowing. Make sure to wear your least favorite clothes and maybe bring a bib. Sunday, doors open at noon, 3303 West Golf Course. Sweetwater Rattlesnake Roundup this weekend, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. What? The world's largest rattlesnake roundup happens right here in the heart of West Texas. originally started as a way to help control the rattlesnake population and prevent bites or attacks. The 65-year-old gathering now focuses more on snake education. Hosted by the Sweetwater JCs, short for the United States Junior Chamber, an underlying mission of the Roundup is to empower young active citizens to create positive change in their communities by targeting sustainable solutions that achieve results. The weekend-long festival offers a variety of events: a dance, cook-off, bus tours, a carnival, guided hunts, vendors, a knife, gun, coin show, contests, beard, longest snake, most pounds, etc., and much more. To see a full schedule, visit www.rattlesnakeroundup.net and click on Calendar of Events under the Roundup tab. When and where? Friday through Sunday at the Nolan County Coliseum, 220 Coliseum Drive, Sweetwater. How? All tickets can be bought at the doors on desired days. Prices range from $5 to $35, depending on what add-ons, carnival, you may like. Active or retired military may receive a discount with a valid ID.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 9th. Beverly Ann Moore Collins Massey passed away on March 6th in Lubbock at the age of 92. Beverly was born in Norfolk, Virginia on February 8, 1931, to Nora Aline Hammonds and Charles Lee Moore. She grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and Ashland, Kentucky, graduating from Ashland High School in 1948. She ended up in Midland, Texas. In Midland, Beverly quickly became involved in the education system, teaching at Alamo Junior High School, Goddard Junior High School, and Midland Lee High School throughout her long career. She was preceded in death by her grandparents, Nannie Bell Myers and Robert Benjamin Hammonds, parents Nora Aline Hammonds and Charles Lee Moore, and sister Carol L. Moore Cherry. She is survived by children Kim Collins Klimt, Tamara Collins Gage, William Cameron Collins, as well as several grandchildren. A public visitation for Beverly will be held on Friday, March 10th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. A chapel service will occur Saturday, March 11th, from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. A burial and graveside service will occur Saturday, March 11th at 1 p.m. at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Club 710AA in Midland, the American Heart Association, MISD, or a charity of your choice. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Massey family. David Cavanaugh Sachs passed away in the early morning hours on Sunday, March 5th, at the age of 64. David was born on October 14, 1958. He was adopted by Dick Sachs Jr. and Mary Virginia Sachs shortly after birth. He worked in commercial real estate and ranch management until he returned to Midland when he reconnected with Victoria Sachs. She was a fellow MHS classmate that shared an honors philosophy class with him. David is predeceased by his parents, Richard Dick Baxter Sachs Jr. and Mary Virginia Sachs. He is survived by his wife Victoria Vicky Sachs, his sister Claudia Sachs, his stepdaughter Jessie Medlin, her husband Christopher, and their daughters. Funeral services for David will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, March 10th, at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity in Midland. A reception and celebration of life will be held at the Petroleum Club of Midland immediately following. In lieu of flowers, please consider memorial donations to the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity at 1412 West Illinois in Midland, as well as Grand Companions Humane Society of Fort Davis, 701 Compromise Street in Fort Davis, or Helping Hands of Midland, 1301 Brinson Lane in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wilkes Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Elsie Margaret Carter Lindquist was born on January 2, 1928, in Groveton, Texas. She passed away March 2nd at age 95 at Scott and White Hospital in Lakeway, Texas. She came to Midland, Texas at an early age. She married M.H. Herschel Carter on January 4, 1947. Elsie was preceded in death by her parents, Arch and Laura Baker, first husband M.H. Herschel Carter, son Mike Carter, sister Ollie Mae Parker, and brothers Dolph and Earl Parker. She is survived by her husband Bill Lindquist, daughter Cindy Cuny, and husband Matt, Carolyn Wilson, her husband Danny, son Rick Carter, his wife Sherry, and stepson Chuck Lindquist. She also leaves behind several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The family will receive visitors from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Friday, March 10th, at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home Chapel at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. The graveside service will follow at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Pastor Lonnie Phillips of Fellowship Community Church will officiate. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to Alzheimer's Texas online at www.txalz.org or Alzheimer's Texas, 7000 North Mopac Expressway, number 200 in Austin, Texas, 78731. James Kennedy, age 86, of Midland, passed away March 6th. Celebration of life will be held at 3 p.m. Friday, March 10th, at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. James was born October 22, 1936, to Henry and Otis Kennedy in Grosbeck, Texas, and moved to Monahans, Texas when he was 5 years old. He graduated from Monahans High School in 1955, where he was an outstanding athlete. On January 2, 1956, James married his childhood sweetheart, Sidney Wells. They lived in Monahans, Gallup, New Mexico, Jal, New Mexico, and Midland. James worked for El Paso Natural Gas Company for 31 years, retiring in 1994. James and Sidney deeply loved each other and celebrated over 55 years of life together prior to Sidney's death in 2011. He was also preceded in death by his parents and two sisters, Donna Hannah of Bay St. Louis in Missouri, and Wanda Aileen, who died as an infant. James is also survived by his children, Rebecca Kennedy Poindexter and husband Jimmy Poindexter of Spring, Texas, and Denise Kennedy Fowler and husband Dale Fowler of Midland. He is also survived by grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Memorials may be made to Aphasia Center of West Texas at aphasiawtx.org. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. LaRue Wisenhunt, age 89, of Midland, passed away March 6th. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, March 9th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time Friday, March 10th, at Prairie Haven Cemetery Chapel in Hobbs, New Mexico. Family will hold a graveside service prior to the memorial service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com.
Hello, this is Kate, reading from the Odessa American, March 9th, 2023. Mental scientist booted from T2 team. Council moving forward in search for new city manager, by Kim Smith. T2 Professional Consulting announced Tuesday night they've parted ways with the mental scientist they hired to assist the Odessa City Council in its search for a new city manager. They also shared the results of an employee survey with the council. T2 founder Mike Wilson told the council valid questions arose about Hank Seitz and when he failed to provide official documentation of his academic achievements by 5 p.m. Monday, he was replaced on the project by another associate, Susie Price of Georgia. Mayor Javier Hoven hired T2 for $338,000 December 14th, the day after the council voted 5-2 to fire city manager Michael Moreo and city attorney Natasha Brooks without explanation. Seitz appeared before the council last week to explain how a committee organized by the council would be able to find the next city manager by setting benchmarks and using something called a tri-metrics, which determines people's personal skills and talents, motivation and values, and communication style. The self-help author of more than a dozen books described himself to the council as a mental scientist, behavioral psychologist, and a certified analyst in a lot of different areas of the human being. His description varies from LinkedIn, Amazon, and his own website, however. John Lucas, Assistant Vice Chancellor of Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, was unable to determine if Seitz is a UW-Madison graduate, as he contends. However, Lucas did say UW-Madison does not offer a degree in mental science. The Texas Behavioral Health Executive Council has no record of a license being issued to a Hank or Henry Seitz. The council provides licenses to psychologists, marriage and family therapists, professional counselors, and social workers. The Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, which provides licenses to behavior analysts, also does not show a license for a Hank or Henry Seitz. Councilmember Steve Thompson demanded from Wilson proof of Seitz's degrees and licenses, and Seitz did not provide those documents, Wilson said. A new consultant. According to a PowerPoint presentation given to the council, Price, like Seitz, is also a self-help author who has received several certifications from Target Training International Success Insights, a Scottsdale, Arizona company that, according to its website, applies a multi-science approach to an ever-evolving suite of tools that support the employee journey. Price holds certificates as a Tri-Metrics HD Analyst, Professional Motivators Analyst, Professional DISC Analyst, Professional Facilitator, and Qualified 360-Degree Feedback Practitioner for Organizations and Individuals. According to the PowerPoint, She is also one of 30 people worldwide to be given the prestigious Advanced Master Axiologist certification by TTI Success Insights. According to Merriam-Webster, axiology is the study of the nature, types, and criteria of values and of value judgments, especially in ethics. According to Price's LinkedIn page, she has a bachelor's degree in journalism from the University of South Carolina. She bills herself as a hiring assessment expert, team building facilitator, speaker, and author. During Tuesday's meeting, the City Council decided that instead of forming a six-member benchmark committee of staff members, residents, and City Council members, they'll be the benchmark committee. Next week, during a public work session, they'll meet virtually with Price and T2 member Micah Lunt to select the superior performance attributes of the next city manager. They'll also go through a process that will remove their bias and help them compare the candidates to the benchmarks they've set and their interview questions. Wilson said that by replacing Sites with Price, they'll still be able to reach their goal of having a city manager hired by mid-July or early August. He did not immediately respond Wednesday to a set of emailed questions regarding Sites, Price, and TTI Success Insights. On Wednesday, Thompson said he was pretty impressed. Wilson admitted there were problems regarding Sites' credentials and removed him from the project. While he hasn't researched Price yet, she's not claiming to be a doctor, Thompson said. As for TTI Success Insights, Thompson said American Express, GE, Pepsi, Mercedes-Benz, and Volvo use their products. I guess if it's good enough for American Express, it's good enough for me, Thompson said. Employee Surveys. According to Wilson and Lunt, 482 of the city's 891 employees participated in a survey that asked them several questions, including whether their leaders and coworkers care about them, if they've received training to help them perform well, if their leader has set goals and objectives for them, and if their leader uses reinforcement and punishment effectively. They were also asked if their leaders were competent, easy to approach with issues, and are role models. The highest score was achieved when asked if they thought their team effectively serves citizens. 89% of the survey participants agreed. The city also received high scores in a few other areas. 84% of the survey participants agreed their leader cares for team members and their team works well together. And 83% agreed that their coworkers care for each other. The lowest scores were seen when survey participants were asked if their leader uses reinforcement and punishment effectively, and if team members change with ease and grace. Only 60% agreed with the former, and 63% agreed with the latter. In addition, only 67% said they consider their leader a role model and that they've received counseling and coaching needed to advance their careers. T2 said they also discovered the city's turnover rate has actually slowed down by quite a bit in the last 2 years. According to the consultants, 129 left the city in 2020, 41 left in 2021, and 49 left last year. So far this year, T2 said 8 have left. They also pointed out the number of new hires increased from 112 to 154 from 2021 to 2022. Since November 7th, 2022, T2 said 16 people have left the city and 51 new employees have been hired. T2 did not provide a breakdown by department of the departures. However, four of the city's six attorneys have left since Moreo and Brooks were fired. In addition, the fire chief and his three assistant chiefs have left or stepped down, and assistant city manager Cindy Muncy retired. Last week, the city also terminated Aaron Smith, who replaced assistant city manager Philip Urrutia in December. As of Wednesday, the city is without two assistant city managers. Outdated policies. T2 also revealed Tuesday the city's policies and procedures manual has not been updated since 2008. It's so outdated, it doesn't include sections on sexual orientation, gender and gender identity, all protected classes identified by the federal government. Wilson and Lunt also noted there's been no formal training on sexual harassment and diversity since before the pandemic. T2 identified as the city's weaknesses: lack of trust, low morale, employees fearful of consequences for speaking out, toxic work environment. TX400-3951, poor leadership, favoritism, sexual harassment, and political impacts. 55% of the survey respondents said morale was either very high or high. 29% described it as moderate, and 16% said it was low or very low. 63 participants said they'd seen racist material or behavior at work, and 50 said they'd seen sexually offensive material or behavior. 31 said they'd actually been discriminated against, and a 14 said they'd been sexually harassed. Although Wilson and Lunt said those numbers are low, each one represents a potential lawsuit. T2 identified its strengths: coachable talent, high level of institutional knowledge, passionate community open to change, passionate city council and internal leaders. Wilson told the council the city of Odessa now has an opportunity to reset the clock with a new city manager and an updated policy and procedure manual. Interim city manager Agapito Bernard and Human Resource Director Charles Hurst have already engaged the Marachi Management Group to help them update the manual. It's clear from the surveys the employees' top desires are improved communication, training, compensation, and accountability, Wilson said, describing as severe the city's internal and external communications. He noted the city doesn't have a unifying vision or mission, and if you don't have a roadmap, you're never going to get where we want to go. Mayor reaction. Following the meeting, Jovan said he was pleased to see there isn't a mass exodus of city employees, as has been alleged, but he was dismayed to learn about the outdated policy manual. It's important for people to feel safe at work and to have a voice, he said. He did not know the cost of hiring the Marachi Management Group, he said. Jovan said he was pleased the council came to a consensus and decided the benchmark committee should only be comprised of council members. He agreed with council member Denise Swanner, who said it would be too difficult to limit the community members to two. And he agreed with council member Mark Mata, who noted the citizens of Odessa elected them to set the bar. The mayor said he is confident of all the council members will be able to set their ideological differences aside to determine what attributes their next city manager should have. As for price replacing sites, Jovan said the process is the key, not the individuals, and he just wanted to make sure the city was still on track to hire a new city manager by mid-July or early August. Price will be using the same methods Seitz was, Jovan said. The switch in personnel did not shake his confidence in 2-2 at all, Jovan said. I think that was very impressive in the work that they've done. They've revealed some things that the city is dealing with, Jovan said, adding he believes the issues identified go back for years and years. He's always been told, that's just the way we do it. And now it's clear there are deficiencies that need to be addressed, Jovan said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.